Hi, everybody. It's Elaine. It's Wednesday, April 13th, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Parent Success System Group. This week we're going to be talking about celebration and championing, and we've sort of linked them together for some interesting reasons, so I think we'll have a good conversation today. And we're going to – we have several people on the call, so let's start with some quick check-ins, see where everybody is, are, and where you want to take in today. So who would like to start us off?
I'll start. This is Megan.
Megan, go for it.
We are celebrating my son's report card. He's in third grade, so this is the first year that he's gotten grades. And he just got his best report card yet, and he has the A's on there.
Awesome. How did he feel?
Really good.
I bet. I bet. Fabulous. What did you do to celebrate?
We always go out to dinner as a family.
Lovely.
To some, you know, some place maybe that's a little special.
Can I put you on the spot and say, did you celebrate, were you celebrating the process as well as the outcome?
Yes.
Did you think about that as you were approaching it? Tell me how that changed your conversation with him.
Well, we've been talking about how, you know, trying to weave that into conversations a lot, how things pay off. Math was one of the areas that he got an A, and so we were talking about how we've been doing a review each time before his test, and he had 3 100s on tests, so we were talking about how the reviews pay off.
Great. So he got to really see the process, not just the outcome.
Yes. Right. And we also tried to emphasize, we weren't just celebrating A's or saying, like, that's the most important thing. We were really pointing out how he's made progress in each area with each report card.
Great.
So that the improvement was more, you know, kind of more important than the grade.
Brilliant. Well done. Love it. Who else? Paula, how about you? Are you there?
Sorry, I muted.
That's what I figured. It's okay.
The champion and celebrating is really a good one for me because of just reminding me again how much they react to feeling like they're always constantly wrong and doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And just how I feel like I'm walking on eggshells because I know that's the way she's going to respond. And so it's just, again, it's just a continual training myself to just really try to, you know, it's sometimes it just feels like it doesn't matter what I do, you know, but to just try to, on those little things, you know, to comment, oh, that's so great that you enjoy, you know, da-da-da, whatever. But in lieu of, you know, well, I know you were doing that. You should like it, but good gosh, your homework's due, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's good for me today.
Great. And what is anything else you would add to your check-in, like how things are going?
I think it's kind of up and down still at our house. Just so many dynamics involved. Is this the all-age group that we're with today?
Somebody else will have to answer that. I never know.
Oh, yes, it's all ages. All ages.
It's okay. All ages. Okay, thank you. It's so funny because from your perspective, it really, I think it does help from where I come from. It's sort of, I find it, they're all ages because everybody's got so many different age kids and stuff. So.
Yeah. I just didn't want to say that the thing that's different, you know, if it was all younger kids, but. She's 14, and so the thing that I feel is very difficult is to be able to discern, is it that she's 14, so she's already going to have, you know, the emotional stuff? Is it because she's having problems with her friends? You know, I mean, this age, this freshman year, is so difficult anyway, you know. And so then when I, was it ADHD? Is it this? Is it that? You know, is she depressed? It is such a dynamic involved that's a little different than the younger kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah. So I think, you know, in answer to that, you know, you just never know. Like, you know, is the time bomb going to go off or not?
Well, you know,
yeah.
It's interesting because I think that's a great observation. And the way I tend to look at it is that because you don't know, there's a, you know, it's almost like you can't really always get to the source of it. Sometimes you just got to deal with what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, and you just deal with the behavior, whatever that is, and know that, that you're dealing with it as best as you can.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Somebody else has joined us from Reno. Who else is here?
It's Wendren. My phone's from Reno, but I'm not.
Okay. No, you're definitely not. Okay, but it's good to know you're here. Thank you. So we were doing check-ins. Shelley or Audrey, y'all want to go next?
Sure.
Sure.
This is Shelley.
Audrey. Oh. How about Shelley and then Audrey?
Okay. We've been having some good opportunities to celebrate successes. I feel like we've just been focusing on that more than the negative, which is sort of a complete shift for me. And so that has felt really good, and I've enjoyed it, and I think the kids have really enjoyed it, that you can see the sort of light up on their face, like, wow, she's noticing good stuff that we're doing. And so that's been really great. And then I have also had some opportunities to learn more just information in general about ADHD and things that I can try to make things better. And, you know, a lot of the stuff like that we talk about, but the webinars and stuff that you guys and some of the information out on the sites, I've just had an opportunity to dig in more, and I feel really empowered by it. And so
great.
Hopefully maybe that has to do with why I'm noticing more of the positive. I'm trying to shift my perspective, I guess. And so maybe that's helping, which I feel really good about it. And then I guess the other check-in that has been really good that I wanted to share is my son, who is 10, came to me and we had a conversation about, because he's now in middle school, about friends and girls, and I wouldn't have expected him to be so open with me, and I was a little shocked that he was that comfortable just having that kind of conversation, and I'm glad that he felt that way, and I hope I handled it in a way that he feels like he can continue to have conversations with me about his feelings and all of that stuff. And so it was just really good because he walked away from the conversation, I think, in a positive way, and so did I, and it just really excited me that, well, he must really sense that I'm open to him and I'm here for him no matter what. No embarrassing, no afraid, none of that. So,
right.
It was good.
Brilliant. The power of matter-of-fact parenting, right? When we take our fear and shame and judgment and anxiety and all that stuff out of it, it is amazing how it gives them permission to be curious and ask questions and talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really. Beautiful. Cool. Audrey, you're next.
there's a lot going on in my life right now.
You've got a lot going on, babe.
We do. We are just back from spring break, where we traveled to Ohio to visit some grandparents. And I think we're celebrating the fact that, in general, it was a really good week. And we did have an incident while we were there. About the second day we were there, you know, when the jet lag really hits you and the tiredness and everything, we were at a park and it was time to go, and it ended in a runaway scenario, which then spiraled into, my son has been struggling with some depression for the last few months, and all of a sudden he went from totally happy on the playground to dark, bad, running away, suicidal. And
oh, honey.
Yeah, so that was, so, I mean, it ended in, you know, basically daddy grabbing him just for safety reasons. He's eight.
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially held him in straitjacket hug on the park bench until I could get there. And that whole scenario was very traumatizing to all of us, but
yeah.
I'm going to put the positive spin on it now. I'm really, first of all, I'm really grateful that he's okay, and that, you know, I actually, Jeremy's recent article about, you know, what do you do when your kid has a mental health crisis and, you know, is in his room with a lacrosse stick and is threatening you with it was very well timed for me, because it just gave me the confidence of knowing, like, okay, this is just... You know, this is a medical issue. Do we just need to decide, do we need to go to the ER? Do we need to call the police? Like, just kind of, like, hearing that article just helped me, like, normalize a really abnormal experience, if that makes any sense.
Total sense, yeah.
You know, and so I just, we were able to have that perspective on it, and just, and he, you know, he really... You know, he even up until the point that my husband had him and he was, you know, kind of bear hugging him, he was still, you know, biting, kicking, scratching, hurt myself or other people. And then, and when I showed up, he switched to just like falling to pieces, shame about his behavior, regret, all this stuff. And, you know, the thing was, is that we were just able to hug him and love him and tell him, like, don't worry about it. Like, you know, like your brain went crazy on you. Like, we're here. We still love you. There's no, you know, you don't have to feel ashamed about this. Like, you know, your brain struggles to work right sometimes. And, you know, we're just here to support you. And you don't have to feel bad and embarrassed and anything else. It's, you know, we're working on getting you the help. And, you know, we're plugged in with a good doctor. We're still figuring out the puzzle. I'm really grateful for that. And, you know, I just feel like a couple of years ago, this would have gone very differently, you know, and I wouldn't have the perspective that I have now on how to handle it, and, you know, that it doesn't need to be some big, I mean, it's a big deal, but, like, this stuff does happen.
Well, so here's what comes up for me is Jeremy's article normalized it for you, you were able to normalize it for him.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And my husband, frankly.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because he's probably freaking out, right?
Right, right. I mean, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like when we get that this is our normal, and it's not what everybody else sees as normal, but, and you know, and some of the people on the call right now are going, oh, my God, that's not what I want to see as normal, right? Right. And I get that, but we each have our particular brand of wild and woolly and crazy and all of that. And when we get that it is what it is, then we can work with it and manage it and do something about it. It's when we're afraid of it and pushing it away and running away from it, and that's when we get into really more trouble.
Yeah.
Right? But allowing it to just be what it is and dealing with that moment. You know, I was actually talking to my daughter this morning, my 21-year-old, who's having a hard time this week, and we were talking about, she was doing some kickboxing, and we were talking about, you know, punching and receiving punches, and I don't know what it was, but what I said to her was, look, life's going to throw you punches. The question is whether you learn to block it or take it or hit back or, you know, to know how to respond to it, because it's going to throw you punches. You know? So, well done. And it sounds like you recovered from it for the rest of the trip, which is even harder to do, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we let it just be about, you're just really tired, you know?
Yeah.
And we didn't jump to 1,000 conclusions over it. We was like, let's see what he's like after a good night's rest, right?
Yeah.
And he was totally fine the rest of the week, you know?
Awesome.
Like, okay, you were tired, all right. I mean, and trying to play back in my head was like, what could I have done to prevent this situation? And just looking back, I think sometimes it just happens. Like,
yeah.
You know, looking back, we asked too much of him. We asked him to play for only a short time at the park. Before we got out of the car, we gave him notice and said, we only have 15 minutes here. We gave him notice before it was time to leave. You know, But how was I supposed to know he was that tired? He doesn't always show clear signs. How was I supposed
right.
to know he was hungry? How was I supposed to know his medicine was wearing off? Like, I can't, you know, I know my kid, but I can't know everything. And how am I supposed to know that that's going to be his reaction when
on
I tell him it's time
that
to go?
Time.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, we did the best we could with the situation we had, and we had a great
Brilliant.
Rest of the week. So,
good.
Yay.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah.
It's a powerful story, really,
yeah.
on lots of levels. Windrin, what's your check-in?
Yes.
We have to watch our time a little bit, but I don't want to cut you off. It's good to reconnect.
I'm going to have to drop out pretty early today anyway because I've got a meeting. But we had an interesting thing happen. Mostly we've been doing well, but last Friday we went to pick up Katya and at preschool. And her teacher said she was fine up until after nap time, and then she just lost it, and she was hitting people, which she hasn't done in months, and we don't have a clue what happened. They got home, and she had a fever of 102.
Well, now you know what happened.
So we told them that anytime she starts acting completely out of her normal range, to check her temperature.
Really?
And then she was running a temperature for 5 days, and we didn't know why, and it's gone now. I don't know. It was random. But it was one of those, learning moments.
Yeah, but what both of your stories are saying is that when the kids reached a point where they couldn't manage themselves anymore, right?
Yeah.
There really was an underlying reason, and it was metabolic.
Yeah.
It was physiological in both of those instances. And that is
yep.
very often the case. If they get to that point where if they're too hungry, tired, exhausted, sick, like they just don't have the reserves anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Amazing.
So, other than that, we're doing fine.
Good. Sorry about that. I remember when my daughter was two and she was having really, really bad behavioral upsets and freakouts and whatever, and I called the doctor. She said, bring her in. She's got a sinus infection. And I said, what? And she did. You know? And it was all behavioral. That was it.
Yep.
So, okay, somebody has dropped off, so I hope that's not I hope that Paula will be able to find her way back. But let's go ahead and take aim this week. So, Windrin, since you are going to have to cut out early, let's make sure you get a chance to take aim. What do you want to focus on this week?
This week and for the last week or so, actually, we're working really hard on communication because in the evenings she's periodically just randomly melting down and we're not associated with her being sick. But she gets frustrated over very little things and we don't know until she blows her top. So we worked with a behavioral therapist, and we're working with her and working both on talking and also figuring out how to calm down. So because the triggers are changing, I think it's mostly just tired and frustrated. And so it's kind of
so
in limbo
the other
right
thing
now, but what
I
we're working on is communication.
And it's communication in terms of be a little more specific. What's the change you want to see?
We want her to be able to understand when she's about to blow, but she's 4 years old, so she may not be able to. So what we've been doing is talking about how she feels before she gets so frustrated she starts kicking people. So we want to improve our communication with her and in helping her figure this out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And her communication is possible, but she's very little yet, so
yes, she is.
A little harder.
So can I offer a little tweak to it?
Absolutely.
Is that I might look in terms of seeing if you guys can begin to recognize the triggers before she does. So you might want to keep a trigger journal. Have you ever done that?
We've actually been doing that, and that's how we know that it's not the same thing that's setting her off. Sometimes we ask her to go get her pajamas and she loses it, and sometimes that's fine and it's going to pick out a book to read, which she usually loves to do. It's just, and it's not every night.
Yeah. Well, that's,
maybe twice
normal.
A week.
I would encourage you to keep it up because there's probably something underlying. It may not be have anything to do with pajamas or a book, but it may be being asked to make a decision.
Okay.
When she's tired.
Okay.
Right. Like. So what?
Yeah.
What's the common thread between them? Both of them require a decision at 7 o'clock at night. She may not have the brain power left to decide what pajamas
okay.
to wear or what book to read. Right.
Yeah.
So look a little okay. bit deeper. And then the other thing I would offer is, at her age, it could be growing. Don't ever
okay.
underestimate the power of the discomfort of growing.
Okay.
Right. If they're going through a growth spurt, and I mean, even my 15-year-old son this year was going through a growth spurt, and he got really cranky. And at some point, we had this conversation. He's like, "You know what? I think I'm just growing, and my legs hurt, my body hurts, and you know, and
yeah,
they can articulate
fair.
It older. But growing pains are real, you know.
Yeah.
And they show up in different ways.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. What about you, Megan? What do you want to take aim on?
I would like to take aim on something that I took aim on a couple of weeks ago, I guess maybe a month ago, and I just dropped the ball, and I did not do anything with it, but it was coming up with a plan for giving my kids allowance.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay.
And okay. I just got caught up in spring break planning, so now I can get back to this.
Okay, great. That's nice and easy. who else? Shelley?
What I want to take aim on for this week, I'm going out of town at this weekend for the next week. And my husband will be here, and grandma will be here to help with the kids. And I would say I'm sort of the glue, you know, usually that holds
yeah.
everybody together and keeps things running. And so trying to find a way for them to be successful and for me to be comfortable actually letting go so that I don't feel like I have to call every 5 minutes. Okay, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this?
Okay.
So planning out what that looks like.
It's setting them up for success and mm-hmm. letting go. And there's sort of two pieces, but I'll give you both of those this week because you need to do both.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Cool. And what about you, Audrey?
I feel like I need to focus on self-care because I'm juggling a lot. You know, we are in the process of finding a new house. We're under contract somewhere and going through the inspection process. My husband's really stressed out and overwhelmed about work, so I'm kind of supporting him, and he's not that much help.
Right.
He, you know, my son, we're going through some medication changes. There's a neuropsych eval coming up for him in the next week or two. You know, I got to register my younger guy for kindergarten. Like, I'm juggling a lot of things right now, and I'm kind of the center stable piece. So if I don't keep that together, it's all going to fall down.
Yep. Great. Okay, so really the focus is plain and simple self-care. How do I be
yeah.
kind to myself? And it's actually a great segue. Paula does not seem to have found her way back, so I'm going to move us on. But it's a great segue to championing. And what I really want to talk about today is championing because you guys understand celebrating. I don't need to teach you about celebrating. I think it's an important part of it, and we do it all the time, and we celebrate every week, and every one of you started off the call today saying what you were celebrating. You've got it, right? You get the value of it, the benefit of it, how it serves you, how it serves your kids. So what I really want to focus on is championing and how they relate, right? Because, you know, we know about celebrating that the solutions are in the successes, right? That when we look to what's worked, that's when we begin to see how we can apply it to work in other places.
Championing is a little bit different. Championing is about standing up for, is believing in, is it's got a role in it that's about advocacy, that's about sort of what we do for our kids and standing up for them. And then there's another piece of it that's about believing in them so that they can believe in themselves. I mean, there's a way, Audrey, in which in the park you and your husband were championing your son by normalizing the experience, right? You were sort of standing for, this is what it is, we're not judging this, there's no shame here, we're moving on. And so sometimes it's as simple as holding a perspective that's supportive and caring. And sometimes it's about the advocacy we do in the school. It's about, you know, having the conversations, even the tough ones, with the teachers, the administrators, about, you know, what we know this child needs in order to be successful. The example you just used, it was Shelley, about, you know, you're about to leave town. There's a component of championing involved with setting them up for success and believing that they're going to be okay if you're gone for a week, and that they can handle it, and that grandma can step in, and she's going to do it differently, but that's going to be okay, and they're going to be okay with that. And it may be that they're really glad to see her leave at the end of the week and happy to see you come home, and that's a good thing, right? Or it may be that you know, you're able to set it up where it runs really smoothly, but either way, part of championing them is believing in what's possible and what they're capable of, instead of that tendency we have to look and see what's not going to work. And that's why we tie it into celebrating. And so there is, as I say, there's a tactical, structural piece about it that's advocating and standing for. And then there's a piece of it that's more philosophical, that's about really believing in them and helping them begin to believe in themselves. You know, I read a piece many, many years ago that was called The 10 Words That Can Change Your Child's Life, and it was something like, I believe in you, I know you can do it, or I know you, I believe you can do it. And either way, those are sort of examples of championing. And in the time since, I've learned from Dr. Schultz that we have to be careful with that, because if they don't believe that they can, it doesn't matter if we do. So we want to make sure that when we are championing, we're not increasing their sense of failure because they feel like they can't live up to what we hold or what we see or believe. So it there's a little bit of a delicate dance there. It's about, I believe in you, and it may be hard for you to believe it right now, but I'm going to hold that belief for you until you're ready to share it with me, because I know you can get there, which sort of gives them the space to maybe not believe it yet, but the room to grow into it. Does that make sense? Because it's sort of a nuanced kind of a conversation. So what's coming up for people? What are you thinking about?
This is Megan. It makes sense. And I think that that extra part that you just added about, you know, you might not believe it, but I'm going to be here till you do. I think that makes a huge difference.
How so?
Just, you know, thinking back to my own childhood and stuff, I think just for a kid to hear that from an adult would make such a difference for them,
mm-hmm.
in their confidence.
Yeah. And yet to be given the permission to not be there yet. You know, it's almost like we're what we would call in coaching creating the future space, right? The future vision. I know that this is something you're going to be able to do. And it's okay if you don't feel like you can do it yet. That's why we're learning. That's why I'm helping you, because I am absolutely 100% sure that this is in your wheelhouse. This is in your capability, you know. And that caveat, I definitely agree, I think is important. And I didn't understand that, I don't think, as much as my oldest child as I have with my younger child. And I see the difference in his confidence as a result. Because with my oldest child, I was always saying, I know you can do this, you can do this. And she really didn't believe she could, but she didn't know how to tell me that. And so in some ways, I was aggravating her anxiety. And as I learned to shift how I held my kids' possibility, it actually, I see a complete difference in my youngest child's self-esteem. He now believes he can do absolutely anything. What else is coming up for people? What are you noticing?
This is Shelley. Yeah, I can see how that would really make a difference, because there's times with my son who does, you know, he already struggles with just anxiety in general, that, you know, I've tried and, you know, wanted to really sort of, you know, be his biggest fan and cheer him on. You know, I know you, you know, we're working on this one thing. I know you can do it today, buddy. Today's the day you can do it. And then those moments when he comes home and it didn't happen, I think the look of, oh, man, I screwed it up again, is that much deeper and
right,
harder for him.
He's disappointed you now.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's bad enough if I'd messed up. But now not only did I mess up, but now, you know, we had had a conversation about it, and it was this big thing, and it was going to, you know, be this big celebration. And I've messed that up, too. You know, like, I really brought it on double. So having that ability to say, you know, even if you're not there, I'm here and I'm waiting because I know you can do it, you know. I just think that is very huge.
Well, and the other thing that comes up for me as you said that is the sense that we tend to want to be a cheerleader, and sometimes they really need that subtle, a really much more understated acknowledgement. You know, sometimes they need, I know you can do it. I'm here when you're ready, instead of, I know you can. Attaboy, go get them, you know.
Yep.
Some of our kids, particularly those with anxiety, do really well with a more subtle, quiet, sort of backhanded compliment kind of thing. Yeah, you did great with that. I knew you could do that. Yeah, you did great. And move on, right? Because they don't want you to linger for too long. Do any of you have kids that have a really hard time accepting compliments?
A little bit.
Okay. So that's the one to watch out for, to keep it understated. Right? Don't make a big deal about it, but don't miss the chance to acknowledge it. It's really, in some ways, when we're talking about championing them in this context, it's really sort of another form of acknowledgement, isn't it? It's like, I see you, I see what you're struggling with, I see what you're capable of. Y'all are uncharacteristically quiet. What are you thinking? Well, does somebody want to do a little laser coaching? Because it doesn't feel like there's a real discussion here that wants to be had. Does somebody want to look at your topic and see if we can play with it some?
This is Shelley. I'd love to. Because I am nervous about next week.
Okay, good. So you had sort of two issues. Let's try to focus on one and see if the other plays in. One was setting them up for success, and the other is letting go. Which do you feel like wants your attention a little bit more?
The setting them up for success, I think, will make the second one easier. So I would probably tend to say, let's focus on one. Let's get them set up for success.
Okay. So tell me what success looks like.
If everybody gets to school on time, and, you know, at the bus stop on time, that would be success.
Okay. Just questioning, what if they don't?
I mean,
for some people, it's a huge problem if they miss the bus, and at some, it's like, well, we'll just run them over there. So,
Well, I would normally it wouldn't be a big deal. I would just run them over there, but because it's Grandma that's going to be doing that piece, she wouldn't know where to bring them, where to drop them off, any of that kind of stuff. So, and she's got to get to work afterwards. You know, like she's got a pretty tight schedule. So, if they didn't get on the bus, it would be putting an additional burden on Grandma that I don't want to ask of her.
Okay. Okay, so getting to school on time really is a high priority. I mean, getting the bus on time.
Yep.
Okay, and what tends to interfere with getting to the bus?
You know, their routine in the morning of getting ready if they're lollygagging. What, you know, they want to sit on the couch and cuddle instead of get their teeth brushed, or they are being slow at eating breakfast. And I could see with Grandma being here, they might want to tend to do the, well, let's sit on the couch here, Grandma, for a little bit more and snuggle under the blanket, you know, just because it's Grandma.
Right.
So.
So what if they don't get a full breakfast every day? Can you be okay with that?
Yeah, I'd probably say, you know, take a cheese stick on the bus with you. You know, at least you got something. And they do have food at school, so worst case they could eat at school.
Okay, great.
So yeah.
So the priority for them, and you can communicate this, is making sure that they get out to the bus on time. And you may know that may mean some other things. Other systems need to be put in place to make it easier. So taking a cheese stick on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Is waking up a challenge?
No, they have the alarm clock goes off and they're usually pretty good to get up. They have an alarm clock in their room.
Okay.
The other part with not only the morning routine but also nighttime is the medication. Making sure that my son takes his medication before he goes to school. So.
Okay. And
that,
just
and
remind
that's
me
of that routine too.
I'm not as familiar. Tell me what are the ages of your kids?
10 and 7.
Okay, I knew there was 10. 10 and 7. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so whose job is it for them to remember?
They have a checklist on our back door, like taped to the back door, that they check off every day. So it's their job to use the checklist. And they've gotten very good at using that every day. And I just simply, you know, where are you at on your list? Where are you at on your list? You know, if they need reminders or are kind of stuck somewhere.
Yep.
And one of those items on the checklist is for him to take his medication. So.
Okay. But that's something that is important enough that you may want an adult backup on.
Yes.
Okay. So just as an aside, because what I'm hearing is that there's some of this is about the communication you may want to have with them in advance, and some of it may be about the expectations that you communicate with your mother in advance. Is it your mom or your husband's mom?
My husband's mom.
Okay, with your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
So so that if you can communicate what's essential and what would be nice.
Yep.
If you can differentiate for her what's essential and what would be nice so that everything doesn't have equal and highest priority, and she knows it's really most essential that the meds get in and they get out the door on time.
Yeah, that is key. I wrote up a, you know, here's all of the things and schedules and times and, you know, have a sheet of instructions.
Yep.
But really pointing out these three or these two or whatever it is, these are the stars. If nothing else happens with these stars, it was
right.
A great week.
If you could
so
help her
yep.
with prioritization and understanding what's important, what's most important. So maybe the question goes back to that other issue is, what would you be willing to let go of and be okay with?
Mm.
Or conversely,
yeah,
what is it? What are you not willing to let go of? What is absolutely essential? Because if you can be clear on that,
yep,
it'll be easier to let go of everything else.
Yep. Yeah, the medicine and the bus are the two musts. And the homework
okay.
would be the third one that I would add in as a, that would be like the next level, the helping with homework. If for whatever reason the homework doesn't get done, it's not the end of the world. I'll just have to help them, you know, clean up the week I get back. But that would be the ultimate, is if, okay, you did the whole, you know, you stuck with the this many minutes of reading and this their spelling practice, and then Matt, you know, might have a couple extra assignments. If they worked on them, great. If they don't get them done, that's the thing that I'm willing to let go of. I can deal with
great.
It when I get back. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Now, are you in good communication with the school?
Yes.
Okay, so can you let them know that you're leaving?
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So there's a way in which this is a beautiful topic, because championing is really about setting them up for success. That's or maybe I should say it differently. Setting our kids up for success is one way in which we champion them. Right? We don't want to set them up for failure. We want to set them up for success so that we can believe in them and help them believe in themselves. And so one way to do that is to make sure that the school, I mean, this is not the week you want a long-term project coming home that has to be delivered on Monday.
Right.
Right. And if it does, they need to know it ain't going to get done. Because it's not a reasonable expectation.
No.
So there's sort of four parties to have communications with. And so a lot of this, I think, is about setting expectations in advance, getting really clear for yourself about what is and isn't essential, setting expectations in advance, and then communicating them clearly. Right?
Yep.
So the audiences are your kids, your mother-in-law, your husband, and the school.
Yep.
Those are your four groups. And so what I would offer you, because we don't have enough time to do it all here, and, you know, this is something we could do in a full coaching session, but in a laser coaching session, we're going to have to shortcut a little bit. So what I would give you as a homework assignment is to sit down for each one and write down what's essential that you want to communicate to each of them, or what's the essential accountability for each of them, to use a business structure for a minute, right? What's most important? And then what would be nice? And then if you can give them each permission to, and don't worry about this, that's even nicer. Right?
Yeah.
And then the key piece after you get really clear on it is to communicate the expectations. And so, you know, particularly with the kids, you want to have some give and take. This is what I see as most important. What do you guys see? What's going to be, what might be a challenge with Grandma here? How do you think you can handle it? This might be a great opportunity to pull some from the last couple of weeks and pull some incentives or some motivation. You know, give them something, a treat that they work towards if it's a great week and everybody reports, you know, success. I used to, when my kids were little and they still had babysitters, when my oldest one started to babysit, I actually paid everyone on babysitting nights. So the oldest one got $1, the middle one got 50 cents, and the youngest one got 25 cents, or whatever it was. So I actually paid the youngest kids for behaving well for his older sisters, right? And back and forth, because I wanted them bought into the process of having a good night. And so what I'm suggesting is that you think in terms of getting your kids to buy in to having a great week.
Yep.
Does that resonate?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've already got ideas going of what that might look like.
Perfect. And so that part of that is about celebrating it at the other end. And because it's a big success, the truth is your goal as a parent, and this is to every one of us on this call, myself included, is to transfer the baton of responsibility from us to them so that they're learning to manage themselves better and better. And your going away is a phenomenal opportunity for that. Truly, the best thing you can do is get out of there and let them figure out how to manage it without you. and expect that they're going to falter a little bit. So that's why you want to be really clear on what is okay to falter on and what's not. And don't be disappointed if you come back and they haven't faltered on anything. Right?
Yeah.
But this is, it's like a lab practicum. It's an ideal opportunity for everybody, if they have an expectation that that's what they're working on, to learn to step up a little bit. And this is, and you're championing them, Shelley, is about believing that they can do it and helping them see that you're doing this now because they're old enough now for you to do this. They're responsible enough now for you to do this. You believe they can handle it.
Yep.
So what's the question that's jumping up? What's the but?
I can't even think of one. I feel so good about, normally this would be an absolute dread, which I think even when I started the call, it was sort of like, yep, I got to figure out how am I going to get through this. But I do feel so, to having the conversations with everybody and really being clear about what are the musts, that is huge. And, you know, like you say, it's setting them up to succeed, to sort of, like, there's a reason that we've struggled, all of the struggles that we've had, so that now we're at a point where you are responsible enough to handle some of this, and for me to not have to leave in fear of what am I going to come back to.
Right.
I don't have that feeling. I'm really excited. This is great, because I would have never looked at this as that type of opportunity. I would always look at it with dread.
Mm-hmm.
And so just shift my perspective is huge. So
great. Oh, I love
no
that.
No buts for me.
Well, here's what I'll offer to you is that when I went back to work and I started getting into coaching and I had to go away for different trainings, the very first event I ever did, I was doing the opening event for women's leadership or women's spirituality retreat up in the mountains, and there were 100 people, and I was the Friday night opening act. And it was my very first professional gig, if you will, after going back to work. And this is a true story. And my son, a tree fell in the backyard and hit my son on the back of his head on Friday afternoon. And, I get this call to meet them at the emergency room, and I run to, get to the emergency room, and he's fine. He's had a concussion, but he's fine. And I look at him, and I look at my husband, and I have to leave. I have to get in a car and drive. And I made the decision that they were going to be fine and that it was going to be okay and that whatever got done that weekend got done, what didn't, and he was going to be okay because he was with his father. And his father was every bit as capable a parent as I was, even though part of me didn't really believe that was true. But I made that decision, and it was the best decision I ever could have made for their relationship with each other. Because my husband rose to the occasion as a father, and my kids accepted and embraced my new role and my work, and began to take on more responsibility around the house because, he had sisters who were here who helped out. And it was an extraordinary transition in our family life. I mean, I can point to it. I can tell you exactly what day and year it was, So I really do want to offer it to you as an opportunity that when there's a chance to pull away and you've got systems in place for them to be successful, that's really what this is all about. So, yay. Yeah. So what do you feel like you focused on in this brief conversation?
Well, the homework assignment of doing the notes for everybody, because like I said, I would have just done it for my mother-in-law and that was it. So that is, I think, a great one. And then the other part that I focused on overall and just in general in our conversations was the aha of the, even if you're not there in the I believe in you, and that might be even useful in this particular situation. You know, like I'm sure my husband might have a little feeling of, oh, she's going away, and I don't know if I can do it. You know, I'm going to screw something up. Well, I believe that you'll get through it, that you'll get through these musts. Like, I believe that he can do it. And even if he's not there, I still, you know, I'll wait until you feel ready, but I believe in you. So both of those were really good for me today.
So it's about championing your husband.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To be the kind of parent he wants to be and can be, that he doesn't always get a chance to do because you're so capable.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Very much like the story Audrey told earlier, who, you know, her husband rose to the occasion in that park and held her son until she got there and they were able to sort of diffuse things. And when they see what they're capable of, I love that this came up because I don't think I'd thought to share it, but when you do have a spouse or a co-parent that you're sharing this journey with, empowering them and championing them is every bit as important as championing your kids. Because you're the ones here doing the work on the calls and thinking and learning, and they're a little more scared than you are.
Yeah.
So what's your, do you have an aha or a takeaway from this conversation?
So many.
Good.
Yeah, so many. I think if you're not ready, that's my biggest. I would have never thought of that, and that would have never been a thought for me. And so that's huge, I think, and will be very helpful in not only for my kids, but with my husband and everybody. So that was a big one for me.
Great. And I hear you making a commitment to having these conversations with each of these entities.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Great. Yeah, and you may want to have a family meeting with the kids and your husband and you before you go.
Yep.
And make sure it's not just your agenda. Ask the kids, what are they thinking about? What are they concerned about first?
Oh, yeah.
You know, or what are they excited about and what are they concerned about?
Yep.
Great. So anybody else on the call today, what were you focusing on, or what are your ahas from today?
This is Megan. I just want to say thank you for doing laser coaching on that topic, because I'm going away in May. It's on a much smaller scale. It's not a whole week, and I don't have any grandmas involved with it, but that was definitely helpful for me, too.
Great. Beautiful. And what's your aha? What's your takeaway from it?
To just really focus on what's most important,
mm-hmm.
and know that some you can let other things go.
Yeah. Great. So any commitments you want to make from this week?
Beyond what I'm, I guess just to move forward with what I'm taking aim on, which is to get a structure in place for giving my kids allowance. And I did want to ask you, you had mentioned when we talked about it before that I think you said maybe you wrote an article on it once.
I may have.
Am I remembering that?
Yeah, I've definitely got some. I think I have. I did a thing on family meetings, but I don't know. I'll look and see if I have anything on allowances. And if not, if you post something in the forum and tag me,
okay,
I'll see if I can find what it was, because it's not coming to me now, but that doesn't mean I didn't do it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
It just doesn't. It means I don't remember. And what I would encourage you to do as you're thinking about it is to think about it in terms of how does it champion them? How does it help them set them up for success?
you know, what's important to you? What's your purpose in doing this? You know, is it money management? Is it transferring it so that they do? I started giving my kids an allowance because I was tired of buying inane stuff and having to answer questions, and so I wanted them to have money so that when they said, can I buy this, I would say, you have your own money.
Yeah, that's it, 100%.
100%. And it's brilliant for that. I mean, just so you know, my kid's been buying his own socks for 10 years because I was tired of having the argument about put your shoes on. So.
Oh, that's great.
And if they have their own money, they can. You can say that. It's great. But so just get really clear on what's important, what your goals are in doing that. And think about it in terms of how do you champion them in the process.
Okay.
What about Wendren or Audrey?
Yeah, this is Audrey. I think the two things I focused on were the idea of, you know, getting clear on what things can't be let go and what things might be able to let go. That certainly applies to self-care when you're juggling a lot of things. And and I think the other piece of it is I hadn't really thought of championing as a two-sided coin. You know, you're both, you know, believing in the positive potential, but you're also validating, you know, the mistakes on the way there. And I'm just thinking about how I can model that for my kids, right? What does that look like as I'm, you know, juggling lots of things right now, and I might miss some balls. They might drop. Hopefully they won't be the important ones, but, you know, what would it look like to talk to them about how I'm thinking about that and how that's
I love that.
Okay and I'm normal a- and, you know.
I'm a big believer in make mistakes and make them out loud.
Yeah.
Just be transparent because I want them to see that we're human and we make mistakes too. Huge. And that it's okay, that you're still loving yourself even though you missed a turn or you forgot to turn something in or whatever it is. Great. Thank you. I love that. Wendren, you want to bring us home?
Did you know I came back?
Oh, is that Paula?
Yeah.
Now, Wendren left. I did not know you came back. I was actually looking for your email because I was going to call you or email you when we were done. I'm so glad you're back.
Well, I know you. Well, you need to cut us off. That's fine. I just I had a call from the principal actually.
Yeah, that happens. Everything okay?
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't bad. She was actually returning a call. It was just kind of ironic. But no, if I don't have time, that's fine. I just wanted to.
No, that's okay. What have you taken away from this call today?
Okay, well, it was great when I came back because the thing that really has been a little bit of a struggle is Anna's dad and I have had some marital issues, and we started to, you know, pick those pieces apart and realizing that Anna and I are ADHD both, and he's more, like, structured and he doesn't like to do a lot of things, and we're, you know, super hyper And so over the years, there's been this tendency for her and I to align with each other. And now we are, Greg and I are coming to, you know, we're really doing a good job of repairing the marriage and that.
Congratulations.
And so Anna, though, you know, she doesn't like it too much. And so what I'm taking that, helping me is, you know, the lady saying about, like, and you saying, like, let's champion our husband. And, you know, I think just empowering him from here on, you know, this is really great. I mean, it's bothering Anna. She's not liking her dad a lot right now. But that's okay because, you know what, we made some big mistakes and didn't recognize them. And now, you know, we still got years with you and we love you. And so champion dad that, you know, he's more involved and we're, you know, and I'm trying to not align with her. You know, those kinds of things become habits. You don't even recognize it's doing it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and here's what I would offer in to build into the conversations at some point with her are, you know, I got this advice really early on is occasionally to be able to say to my kids, you can't talk to my daughter like that. You can't talk to my husband like that.
you know,
yeah.
to establish that connection that this is my husband,
mm-hmm.
right, and I
yeah.
love him, and I want you to treat him nicely because he's my husband, not just because
yeah.
he's your dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to keep it playful, to keep it light, but to be able to say things to her like, kid, one day you're going to be really glad that you have parents that love each other.
Yeah.
You know, you may think it's a little awkward now or it may embarrass you now. I mean, we love to embarrass my 15-year-old son. It's so much fun. But we are often saying things like, yeah, look at the friends you have whose parents don't like each other and tell me you want me to not do this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so help her see the benefit to her of you two being a good team.
Yeah. And that's part of what I have to do for myself, you know, because we were really at a point of, like, getting a divorce. So
yeah.
we're rebuilding at the same time trying to, yeah, convince her that we are. So there's a lot of fear involved, you know. I mean, it makes it pretty intense, I guess, for a 14-year-old, too. But
well,
anyway.
But just keep it matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a champion opportunity as well to champion him and to champion her in that, you know, not everybody's lucky enough to have parents who are willing to do the work to work it out and reclaim their marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and she's old enough to understand that.
Right, right. Those are great. Great.
Yeah.
Written them down so I don't forget.
Well, and you can always go back and listen, remember.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, these are recorded. All right, everybody, amazing as always. What a phenomenal group. Thank you for your candor and your transparency. And all I will say is go forth and celebrate and champion like crazy.
Thank you.
Have a great couple of weeks,
Lynn.
Everyone. Talk to you soon.
Bye, Lynn.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.